As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But you must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word.
I was reading about a group, a religious sect called the Millerites. Familiar with the Millerites? The Millerites were a group in the 1800s. They were founded by a farmer whose name, believe it or not, was Miller. He was from upstate New York, and he got a vision or a mystical experience that told him that the second coming was going to happen on such and such a date. And he kept it to himself for a while, but then he started to share it with others, and people started to follow him and you know, go along with this message and prepare for this date when Jesus would come in March of 1848. I think that's the date. Sometime in March 1848. So they were all ready for this date. And there were lots of churches that had pastors who were of Millerite persuasion, right? They were aligned with this way of thinking, and they would lead their congregations to prepare for this big event. There was this one church, one of many, I would think, a Massachusetts church. The pastor was a Millerite and convinced the people to get rid of all your property. Sell your property or give it away. You're not going to need it. Because on this date in March, in 1948, we will put on our white robes and we'll go up to the hill and we will await Jesus' arrival. So they did it. These church members sold their property or dispersed it, however, got their white robes, and that day they, you know, processed up to the top of the hill, singing probably, and they got up to the hill and they waited for Jesus to come, and guess what? He didn't come. And the next day, they had to climb back down that hill, return to whoever they had sold their property to or given it to and explain, we made a terrible mistake. And ask for the property back. Terrible. That's what was starting to happen in the church at Thessalonica, which brings about this letter. This is the second letter to the Thessalonians. The first letter was written, scholars pretty much agree that Paul wrote them the first letter, and it is largely about Jesus coming back, being prepared, being ready. Remember, we've talked about this before. These people were ready for Jesus to come back. And as the years went on, they started to get a little anxious, and they wanted, you know, they wanted him to come back, and they knew he was coming, and they were waiting, just like we're still waiting. And Paul would have to write them letters every now and then, or he would have to go visit them just to shore them up, to shore up their faith. Don't worry. The day is coming. God loves you. God will provide. Jesus is coming. Just like I tell you every day. I don't use those exact words, but I'm telling you, right? The kingdom is coming. We are here, Jesus people. But after that first letter, someone got the message out to this little church in Thessalonica, whether it was in person or through letters, that, oh, he's here. Jesus has come, and you better get ready. If you're not ready already, because it's happening now, you better. And they didn't know what to do. Their heads were exploding. They were shaken. They were upset. And they didn't know what to do. How do you react? What do you do? Do you sell all of your property? Do you just stop doing what you're doing, right? What about all the good works they were doing? Well, we're going to be leaving soon. Jesus is here and we're on our way. Good luck. We're off. So this second letter had to be written to the Thessalonians. And in this letter, the scholars believe that this is not written by Paul. Because, A, it has a different theology than the first letter, right? The first letter says Jesus is coming, be prepared, hold the faith. And this one says, hold off, not this time, not coming. That's not Paul. Especially since later letters that we know Paul wrote to other cities, other churches in other cities, are saying, coming soon, right? So he wouldn't change this core theology just in this one letter. Whoever wrote this letter did know Paul's letters pretty well because it's written very much aligned in his style. Thank you. That's the word. But this person is writing this letter because these people are losing their minds because they don't know what to do. They're hearing this news and they don't have the core in how to react to it. They have the core, but they're not in touch with it. And that's what the letter writer says. I'm just going to call him the letter writer. The letter writer reminds them, remember when I was with you, I told you this was going to happen. Or I told you this couldn't happen until other things happened. And those other things haven't happened yet. Here's what you have to do. Hold fast to your traditions. Hold fast to those ones who have taught you what you know. Remember what Jesus taught you. Remember what Paul came. He doesn't refer to himself as Paul like that. But remember what we came and told you when we brought you this message that Jesus brought to us. God loves you. God cares about you. This message that this person is claiming, that's not of God. You have to hold on to what was brought to you. And that's the advice for us today. Hold on to the traditions that we've received. I know it's getting a little, what's the word? I don't know if losing faith is too strong a term, but you know, this whole thing with the bishop is going on a long time. And I'm starting to get a little impatient. Come on, make a decision or do something, right? Well, what do we need our leadership. But the advice is to hold fast to the traditions. These things go through a process for a reason. They're set up that way. There's strength in that solid base. We have a solid base in God's love for us that Jesus taught us. that we share with those out around us. Each of us, when we were growing up, had somebody, maybe it was more than one person, but there was someone, there were some people who brought you to the realization that God loves you and to the realization that you have something now to share with those around you. Right? A Sunday school teacher, a grandparent, an uncle, an aunt. This church here, right? Maybe it wasn't when you were a child. Maybe it was just a few years ago when you were walking past and you heard the organ music. What's going on in there? And you were greeted by this lovely community. Maybe it was someone in the Bible. Every week, we hear a story about somebody who had an experience that changed them. And then we hear that story and allow it to change us. Whether it's a very short man who pushes aside all of his dignity to scramble up a tree so that he can see Jesus. Maybe it's a woman who's been ill for years and years and finally decides, if I touch the hem of his beautiful white robe, I'll be better. And because of her faith, she's saved. There's somebody like that in each of our lives. And we have the potential to be that for somebody else. Imagine that. Someday, years from now, someone may stand up in church. I'm here because of Elizabeth Stillinga. I'm here because Dave told me about Jesus. Right? Isn't that beautiful? Don't you want to be that person who told someone that God loves them so much and changed their life? I'm going to give you the opportunity to name some of those people now. It's All Saints Sunday. Those people are in the vast cloud of witnesses with God, as we will someday be with God. And we can still remember and name them. And I'm going to give you that opportunity now. And as you name the name, I will chime the bell.